Good morning. Welcome to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton, back to open up with you about the latest on the dance scene and the heart of what moves us. Thank you for tuning in to share time and rhythm with us. Welcome to this dance space. And as we move and groove into the rhythms of today's episode, we invite you, friends, to come in and join us as we explore the stories that live both on and beyond the stage. My guests today have been known to say the following, that they have a myriad of ways that they comfort, support, care, cherish, challenge, and value each other. Coming up on the show, Alan and Karen Kasia are in the house and will be with us for the next hour, so stay tuned and stay locked in right here to CIUT 89.5 FM. We're going to take a break and be right back with Alan and Karen Kasia. Welcome back to Turnout Radio. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. Transcending conventional boundaries, Kasia de Dance encompasses various mediums, including live performances, dance films, community integration, and outreach. At the heart of their creative endeavors lies a celebration of the universal aspects of everyday life, passionately emphasizing the extraordinary within the ordinary. Their work is deeply personal, socially relevant, relational, physical, and imagistic, forging emotional connections with audiences through intimate storytelling. Joining me today are award-winning choreographers and performers in stage and film, co-artistic directors of Kasia de Dance, Alan and Karen Kasia. Welcome to the show, both of you. How are you both doing?
Doing fantastic, thank you. Great to see and hear you again.
Great to be here with both of you. And Karen, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, feeling calm. Good time for calm, good time for conversation.
It is such a pleasure to welcome you both back to the show. Now, I was saying to both of you recently that it has been a while since I've sat down and been in conversation with you both simultaneously. And so how has your journey been since you last visited Turnout Radio?
It's been fantastic, thank you. And it's been just an incredible journey. You know, when we talked last time, we were under lockdown. And then, of course, since then, it's been just a flourish of creativity, activity, film work. I've authored a memoir and back in the classroom again. And it's just been an incredible journey. And of course, you know, a phenomenal journey with my love, Karen, and our children, and travel, biking. You know, it's just nonstop.
I would imagine. And speaking of journey, before I say anything else, happy anniversary to the both of you, 36 years. Karen, how does it feel to hear 36 years with Alan?
I hear the three, I hear the six. I don't understand the 36, to be honest, because it, you know, life feels like one day, really. So it's very hard to decipher what a year is in the relationship, in the stories, in the some feel more distant stories, some feel more close, some feel more journeyed, some feel wrapped around, some feel unraveled. And then with this kind of career, yeah, they are all journeys within themselves, all the millions of encounters that we've had. To answer your question, how does 36 years feel? Magical, sparkling, and curious. I don't really understand the number. Oh. I mean, I do on the calendar, yeah, but in the feeling, the sensation of life, for me, life is like a day, you know.
Ah, what insight. What insight. And your thoughts, Alan, when you think about 36 years.
You know, it's interesting. When I look at Karen, I still see the 20-year-old Karen when we first met and started dancing together. And it was magic. Our first meeting was just magic. And for me, it has just blossomed and just become even more magical and mysterious and enlightening. And yet, you know, we've been so intertwined for this time period, you know, almost as Karen is saying, every day just weaves and blends and just moves. And, you know, sure, there's been challenges and things like this, but there's also been children, there's been travel, there's been design, there's been creativity. You know, Karen's been my muse for, you know, for decades. And so this has been a journey that I would wish upon anyone, you know, to really hurl yourself into the unknown, you know, and into the unknown of Karen is pretty amazing. And to really find just a depth and a sense and a sensitivity that I would never have imagined growing up. And so for me, the 36 years just feels like yesterday. And, you know, but I look at Karen and I cherish the years that we've been together, and I look forward to the next 36. It's been pretty incredible.
Well, as you're reflecting, I'd like to revisit our pre-show chat for just a moment. During the chat, you had each shared individual mottos that you live by, which support your relationship and also your work practices. And Karen, your motto is stay in the moment. Why do those words resonate with you?
I think, I can express it in many ways, but when I think of dance, I think that being drawn to whatever it is that I'm doing, but staying in the moment of what I'm doing, whether it's, you know, set, work, delivering a performance, improvising within, creating, the more I can stay in the moment, the more joy I find, the more connection to heaven and earth I find, and the more beautiful the outcome, whatever the outcome is. So traversing that into the rest of my life is a goal. It's always a goal. It's never reaching perfection. I always find myself outside of that but the possibilities are even more endless if I stay in the moment. The joy in life, waking up, going to sleep, seeing the beauty, seeing what I'm seeing, as opposed to, you know, you can see here or you can really see there. So it's like, that's to me also is in the moment, because also so many projects, so many things, so many responsibilities, so many people to respond to in my life. It is a struggle sometimes to stay in the moment. So I keep pulling that in for myself.
When I think about just how quickly life moves around us, I think the power and the beauty in what you're sharing causes us to consider the importance of really being present throughout the journey. Because in that state of being present, in that state of staying in the moment, it allows us to be able to capture the essence of all of the things that are happening around us. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate that share.
Mm-hmm. And it's challenging.
I agree.
Yeah.
I consider the many distractions that can sometimes take us off course from staying mm-hmm. in the moment.
Mm-hmm. And I'm a very distractible type, so... Yeah.
When those distractions arise, how does Karen Kasia take care of Karen?
Well, sometimes it's me that calls my name on it. Sometimes it's other people that I'm in the room with that might notice, let's go back on track. But sometimes it's a dance in itself between those two states, because sometimes I love it. It's a beauty. It's a great way to have a conversation. We're doing that today. We're like moving in and out of, thoughts and shifting to distractions and returning. And so how do I stay in it? I move in and out of it. And sometimes I have to call myself back in. And sometimes it's challenging. On the other hand, I also love making sure I'm staying right in it, and it makes me think about when I'm performing or when I'm in a good place in creation or when I'm writing or when I'm gardening or many other things. But yeah.
Yes, indeed. And Alan, in hearing those thoughts of staying in the moment, has any of that found its way into your rhythm as well?
You know, as Karen was saying, being in the moment is so challenging. You know, to be able to release the world around you, to release all the complexities that are being thrown at us at any given time, to be in the moment, present when you need to be present, to be able to go into the studio and just be open to the universe, right? Or as Karen was saying, you know, when we're dancing, when we're improvising, when we're playing, how do we stay present in the moment and not start to project anticipation or thoughts and ideas of where this should go? Why not allow what's happening infuse us? And so I really love this whole being present in the moment, but I also understand the challenges for it. And especially, you know, with social media and all that kind of stuff, how do we release the influences and find our core and find ourselves, but also find ourselves? Like, I love improvising with Karen too, because Karen really is the moment. And how do I stay true to that and be present and be aware of the unknown, the immediacy of the impulse, right? Because being present is also trusting your impulse, and that's both creative and, you know, so many different aspects of our lives.
You know, it also made me think of when there's tragedy in one's life. If I am to stay in the moment of that, there's just distractions can be good from that as well. So I've had some deaths in the family. And sometimes those distractions help bide some time to be able to process, which then, you know, which happened more in the moment. Like today, actually today we were driving to see our grandchild and one of our children. And I suddenly felt overwhelmed with thinking about something that my mom said to me a few days before she passed. And I couldn't believe that I was swelling. I had to literally go, like, it took my breath away. So that was a moment I let myself be in the moment, you know. But sometimes distractions from it can be great. But it's time to be able to find oneself.
Alan, prior to our interview, you had shared with me that there is a beauty in not knowing. What are your thoughts about that motto, and how has it informed your daily practices?
The unknown is a gift because it allows us to delve into places that we wouldn't know. You know, Karen insisted that I move into dance film, and I was terrified. And when I did, it just never stopped, right? So I am driven by the unknown. You know, my research into augmented reality came out of the unknown. Like, I had no idea I was ever going to go there. It wasn't a desire of mine, you know. And the same thing with writing. I had no idea. I'd always wanted to write a book, and then it presented itself. So the unknown, I feel, can be a series of gifts to us. As a young creative artist, not knowing allowed me to push the edge of everything because I didn't know, you know? And so what is art? Who am I? And who am I as an artist, as a creator? And it was just a beautiful journey. And because I didn't have, you know, I didn't dance since I was 2 months old, you know, per se. I didn't have expectations of what I thought dance should be. I moved into dance at 20 years old. I'd been a wrestler and a judoka, and, you know, combatives was my life. And then suddenly I'm a creative artist and I have no history with it. So therefore, I'm creating my own history.
The unknown can absolutely be a gift. And then there are times that I've considered the fear that comes with, and even the loss of control in the not knowing.
100%. And the other thing that I would say about the unknown is that, you know, I've been with Karen and I've been together for more than half my life and way more than half my career. And that even in this diving headfirst into the unknown, in a sense, there is faith, but there's also relationship. And there's also knowing that Karen is there, in a sense, to catch me as well. And that's been really essential and really precious for me. So to know that we are on this journey together, Karen's in the immediate and I'm in the unknown, and we're, you know, finding these landing points. But I also feel like, for example, when I headed into my film work, it was, you know, based on my father's experiences in the Holocaust. And I needed to trust that my instinct was to honor and value my ancestors in this work, and that they are still present and alive through this work.
And I really wanted to honor my family in that way, you know, to honor Karen. And then our children were in our films, and to bring community together. Community has always been so important. You know, community, family, relationship is critical. Our rhythm has changed immensely. And that's one of the things that I think is really important, you know, from when we first met to when we started dating in 85, to get being married, starting our company, working for other companies, focusing on our company, and then having children. Our rhythm have changed immensely over the years.
Yeah, that's totally true. And also as we support our personalities to evolve, there's changes there as well. So I think the rhythm is like, there's many rhythms. There's multiple rhythms. There's some that flow at the baseline. There's some that stop and start and glitch and do this kind of thing. Challenge, even out. There's some that ride the tide. I think there's multiple rhythms that I suppose we rely on for the continuity. Openness, curiosity, trying to be present in the moment, trying to carve through the fear and support each other, the fear of the unknown, if that's coming up, because it does, the cliffs are all there, you know, which ones are we jumping? I think supporting and passion, and very much for me with Alan, is the rhythm of laughter. So as we all know, Alan has a big laugh, and laughter is very much part, I don't know how, it's very much part of your essence. And laughter is less of my essence. I'm much more serious and subdued. but when we find those moments of laughter, however often they are, and they're really real, it's just so beautiful. So it kind of propels me.
You know, we teach partnering. And one of the things that I like to say to whomever I'm working with is that for people to realize that partnering isn't about doing, it's about listening. How do we listen to each other? How do we breathe together? How do we find our rhythm, our timing, our intention, our flight, right? We do it together. It's not a one-sided thing. And so for me, this rhythm, it's continuously changing and evolving. Our breath is continuously changing and evolving. You know, for many years, Karen was my muse. And then Karen also became just a dynamic creator in her own right. Then we had children. Children changed the rhythm of everything, you know, but we'd always dreamed, even from when we were young and dating, that we wanted children, but we wanted our children to be fully integrated into our lives. So we just always believed, but we also understood that we had to also adapt and be flexible and to pivot, right? And to realize that if our life is going to be this series of ebbs and flows, not only are we doing it together, but we need to find our own rhythm and timing, which with each of these changes. And I think Karen and I are not too bad at it.
I think I would add to that also what I notice over the years is that although we're both dreamers, we're creative. We're all in this world creatively in the arts. I have another side of me that's super practical and super detail oriented and super analytical. And Alan's like a big picture guy. There are details in it and there are minutiae in it that I dig at. So there's this great balance, which maybe is also a rhythm in itself, can sometimes get us muddled up. But most of the time, I think we both really appreciate that in each other.
So have you found that those ebbs and flows that you both speak of have informed how it is that you both create together?
I would say we create together differently depending on the kind of project that we're working on. I think we found what works well together. And in saying what works well together, maybe the next challenge is to do what we think works well together and shake that up. So there's that possibility. So for example, when we create a Portuguese dances piece together, it's very fluid. It's like boom, 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 go in, you go in, you go in, you go in and out and in and out. And it works really well. When we create a stage work together, it's so far, and it's been a few years since we've done that, we kind of subdivide who will take what. There's a different kind of something that comes in. Yeah.
Stay with us. More of Turnout Radio coming up after this. Karen, during the break, you had shared with me about travel. Can you talk about that?
Well, first of all, travel for me started when I was young, maybe under 13, around 13. And I recall really remembering going places where I didn't know people and finding a comfort in being alone amongst others who were coming together. In a more unusual situation. And then for me, that continued. So when I finished university, York University, I moved to Montreal. I didn't know anyone. I went into a program. It was the first year of its program, LADME. I very happily fall into places where I don't know anyone. I don't know why it's a comfort. And then I moved to New York, where I also didn't know anyone for a year and a half. And I lived with different people and met lots of people and found my way. And maybe it's about finding comfort with self, something about that. Anyways, then here's Alan. Alan comes along, and Alan loves traveling too. So I think we found a real kinship in traveling and exploring new things. And of course, traveling came into our work. It joined our work ethic in terms of wanting to be in different cities and countries and meeting people and sharing ideas and collaborating. And I think it blends being in the moment and the unknown. So two of those things that Alan and I converge well on. So, and also my practicality, needing to know, you know, details and so on. And Alan's big picture, we're going to go here. And I'm like, okay, what are all the details? And so there's a great combination there.
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, I also started traveling quite young, and I did my first solo trip at age 15 internationally. And it's always been like part of who we are as individuals. And it was one of the things that was also really important in our relationship, is that when we started dating, Karen was in Montreal at that time, I was in Toronto, and then I was in Europe for a year, and then Karen was here, and then Karen was in New York, really brought about this passion for being together, but also honoring the time that we needed apart. You know, and that's always been a healthy part of our relationship. So Karen and I, even now, are still traveling. Karen's got this big residency towards the North Pole. You know, we're moving and grooving. You know, I do solo bike trips and all that kind of stuff. And we really value each other, and we value the time that each other also needs. So I think it's a great, you know, sort of connector that Karen brings up. Because, and our children, oh my goodness, are they phenomenal travelers.
We brought them with us till they were like up to grade six. We would bring them with us wherever we were, and we'd put them in schools, or we'd go to their schools in Toronto and get all their homework and work with them on the road. Yeah, they've been around.
And not only that, Karen and I would also do separate travel trips with them. So, you know, I take Anaya or Mika on a father-child, just the two of us trip, ancestor trips, you know, to Poland and Auschwitz, you know, like, and, but we would do it together as father-child. And it was really amazing. And Karen's had her own separate trips with them. And it's been really important bonding, but also understanding each other in very different ways.
And I'm about to throw myself into another one of those. Next July in the North Pole. Going with a group of artists and scientists. There'll be about 15-ish of us. And it's a residency that's held just north of Norway, between the North Pole and Norway. And it's on a ship. So for 2.5 weeks, I will be isolated, alone but together with 15-ish other artists and scientists internationally chosen for this residency, traversing two glaciers and experimentation.
Incorporating the present and the unknown. Present.
That's right.
You're listening to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM.
What are some of the biggest lessons that you've learned, Alan?
In all honesty, it's a great question. You know, is how to listen. You know, I have been, my life has been driven by doing. It's part of my heritage and ancestry, right? You do to survive, right? If you're not doing, do you exist, right? But at the same time, it has been about really learning to listen, not only to Karen, but to our children, to our community, to, you know, what is the work revealing of itself? How do you see things differently, right? So for me, I would say the biggest lesson for me is listening and finding our breath together.
I think I would come back to striving to stay in that moment, because that answers so much and gives so much peace.
What sits on your heart now as you move forward into the next season?
I know one of the things for me is we're now grandparents, and that caring is huge. You know, not only caring for me, for Karen, but for our children, now our grandchildren, and that, you know, this next journey. And I have older siblings who also have grandchildren, watching them and their interactions and their relationships, and really forming new bonds and new caretaking relationships, you know, that goes to the next and the next generations, is part of it for me.
Thank you, Alan. And Karen?
I would say, like, riffing off of that, discovering the child again in me while being with, interacting, and thinking with this new grandchild, I really look forward to unleashing what those surprises might be in myself as well, as what Alan was saying. And I really look forward to deepening old and new aspects of the relationship that Alan and I have, whether it's artful or homeful or travelful, but deepening.
Thank you both. Thank you for all that you shared with us today. It is such a pleasure to witness the both of you in work and in play, in life together. And what a treat to be able to sit down with you both today. Thank you for joining me on Turnout Radio. I'm looking so forward to our next conversation.
Thank you, Nicole. And you're incredible. So there are.
You are.
You're magical. Yeah.
Yeah. And you've also been such an important foundation to our community for so long. And it's been really wonderful and honoring, and to know you and to have had so many different interactions. It's really beautiful.
Oh, thank you both so much. Look at you making my day. I really appreciate those words. I am looking so forward to seeing you again soon. And I leave this conversation with much gratitude.
Thank you for your inquiry, your curiosity.
It's my true pleasure. Today, you've been listening to the sounds of Cannonball Adderley with Autumn Leaves and John Coltrane with Blue Train. Thank you. Welcome back to Turnout Radio. That was Alan Kasia and Karen Kasia here in the house with me. Folks, if you missed the top of the interview and all of their wonderful shares, you can catch it again coming soon to turnoutradio.com and via some of your favorite podcast platforms. Well, this brings us to a close of today's show. Thank you for tuning in to share time and rhythm with us. Join us again next week for more of Turnout Radio right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton. I hope your week finds you turning out to dance. Thank you.